Well, chap, well, chap, get in you. Got GN DL Debate alongside Brendan O'Davney and Shaw Highland Radio. Welcome to DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio or back via the podcast, as ever being produced here by the excellent Shossif. Listen, folks, we have another packed show in store for you this evening. We are going to be, of course, discussing all the big games of the weekend and all the talking points across the All-Ireland series and, of course, at all levels of Donegal. It was a mixed bag with a brilliant under-20s victory at the weekend in the Ladies Ulster Championship, Donegal beating Tyrone. Later in the show, we're going to hear from joint manager Desi McNamara. Our Miners won the All-Ireland Paul McGuire Championship, beating Louth. That's Carl Lacey, former legend himself, Carl Lacey. We're going to hear from Carl as well. Coming up shortly, we're going to hear from Jason Byrne, sports editor with The Sun, and Highland's own Brenda Kilcoyne. We're going to wrap up, of course, the big game, the defeat to Cork, and we're going to take a deep dive into that, look across the Championship. And then later on in the show, we're going to hear from the man himself, Colin Parkinson, the one and only Smaller Fish, is going to be on to discuss, of course, Val Buffet and a look across the Championship and indeed the punditry and everything that he does there. That's all coming up on the show, but to kick it off, as I say, we're going to chat to Jason and Brendan, get an idea from the lads just what happened in Val Buffet Saturday evening. Jason Byrne, chief sports writer with The Sun, and Brendan Kilcoyne, top Highland pundit, welcome to the DL Debate. How are you, lads?
Good evening, Brendan. How are you? All good.
All right, JB.
Good evening, gents.
Good to hear from you, lads. Listen, a lot to digest, especially, I suppose, the headline was shock there in the paper. I mean, it's quite a time to be covering sport, Jason, from years of, you know, games being a bit disappointing. Now the Championship is like roller coaster stuff. It's absolutely mental. What did you make of it, Jason? I suppose the shock news of Donegal's defeat coming through.
Yeah, absolutely, Brendan. Like, when this draw first happened, everyone was saying it was quite unflattering, but we've ended up in a situation where none of the provincial champions are into the All-Ireland quarterfinals as of yet. And obviously Donegal are another one of the big fish that would have expected to go through Route 1 through to the last eight, but it just hasn't happened. I suppose the postmortem in terms of Saturday is still ongoing, albeit we do know that Donegal have a round three game or an All-Ireland preliminary quarterfinal de facto against Dublin to look forward to this weekend. But in terms of Saturday, yeah, huge disappointment, Brendan. Like, this was a massive shock. I know a lot of people will say that Louth's win over Armagh yesterday was possibly a bigger shock, but Saturday was a monumental shock, given the lack of hope that was given to Cork. You know, I'd say you could just count in two hands how many Cork supporters were there. I didn't get to see much of it myself because it was on duty elsewhere, and of course the game wasn't on TV, thankfully. Yourselves painted the picture for a lot of people inside and outside the county who couldn't make the game, but very, very disappointing day at the office for Donegal. It's, you know, this inconsistency is a worry. It's the second time it's happened this summer, of course, with the down game at the start of the Ulster Championship as well, and then to go down to Kerry and produce that performance down there against the Kingdom and to follow it up with a very disappointing home defeat against Cork is extremely worrying. That second half performance in particular, or the first half performance, whichever one you want to hone in on, Donegal just didn't do enough. They lacked all the energy that we've associated with this team since Jim McGuinness came back. You know, no two-pointers, a massive worry considering the amount of two-point shooters that we have on the field. And big questions being asked about the substitutions. And I suppose the big takeaway for me is we need Kieran Thompson back. I think we need Kieran Thompson back as soon as possible. Hopefully he's nearly ready to go. Hopefully we see him this weekend. We don't know what the word is there, but I was talking to Kieran last year just before Christmas, and he was speaking about targeting the start of the Ulster Championship and that down game to get back. So there's still been no sign of him. So hopefully we can, I know he's had no game time whatsoever, but hopefully we can get him on the pitch in some capacity this weekend for that trip to Dublin, because, you know, I think we just need a wee bit more. We need someone else now to step in. We didn't think we'd be saying this a few days ago, of course, but I think what Kieran brought last year, deservedly nominated for an All-Star, the two-point threat, everything else, how he can double up as an extra body or in the middle. He was a huge loss when he went off in the All-Ireland final with that cruciate injury. And I think that loss is now being felt when maybe no one was really talking about it before. I think he would have been a man who would have made a massive difference. You know, we've been blessed otherwise with injuries, really. You know, and hopefully that remains the case. You know, when Michael Langan was out for that down game, it was huge, and thankfully he's back. And but yeah, like I think I think Kieran Thompson has to come back now quickly, lads. I know he's had no minutes whatsoever, but I would like to see him back in the 26 now as soon as possible if Donegal are going to go deep in this summer after another real kick in the backside there at home. And the home form's away too, but it's a trip to Dublin now regardless. So, it's just a pity that big occasion for the Sean McCool's club and everything else just ended in such disappointment. But as Jim said after the game, they don't have time to feel sorry for themselves. They have Dublin out at the weekend. They have an extra day's rest, which is important too. It's do or die from here on in.
Rest is right. Brendan, this was a very strange performance again, particularly I think from maybe 50 minutes. But Jason just mentioned there the McCool's club and everything was done. Like, me and you was up, you were on about the crowds coming in, all Donegal, and you were back in Balbuffet, 2-1, 2 defeats, 16 years, good performance down in Kerry, get the down thing out of the system. Let's go, boys, let's go. But Brendan, what we've seen then, and I'm not blaming Donegal for that first half. 175, Cork were really poor, never laid a glove on us, but we still, I don't think, seen maybe the best of us even in that time. We could have been maybe further ahead, but it was a very strange game, in terms of championship.
It certainly was, and it was very frustrating, Brendan, watching it. Even when we were playing well, you felt we needed to do a bit more. We seemed to be very programmed into the possession game. Very few risks been taken. Watching all the games all weekend, teams are kicking the ball into their top three. I don't recall us kicking the ball in once. And we've three top quality players in there, so we have a lot of the time. And we didn't expand our game to that respect. And Brendan, you go back, Oisin Gallen put us 7 points up in 45 minutes. We scored 3 points in the last 25 minutes of the game, so we did. And very poor. In that time, Cork kicked 4 2-pointers and a couple other scores, and none of our forward line scored. Pather Morgan, Jason McGee and Thurlock Carr, who had come into the game, were the 3 point scorers. And just when Cork turned the screw, we seemed to struggle so much, and we were getting turned over, taking ball into traffic, getting turned over and then caught on the back foot. And to be fair to Cork, they just saw this, all this weakness there within Donegal.
It was hardly a game plan, though, Brendan. It was hardly a thing where they right, we'll just decide to turn it up a second. I think they won a couple of tight balls. They sensed then that we didn't compete for them. And then, as I said to you even in the game there, we actually looked nervous going forward, never mind our defence. From the first half structure we had defensively, and then an attack, we were zipping it about, everybody was coming off the shoulder. So we were solid at the back, we were zipping forward. Both sides of that game completely collapsed in the last 20 minutes.
Totally, yeah. And it was frustrating watching it. So it was, Brendan. And again, it comes back to, and Jason referenced there Kieran Thompson. We don't have a left-footed player playing in that top half of the field, so it means that it makes it very more predictable for teams to defend. And I think Cork did that really well the last day. So they made it very difficult. It says you can have the ball out there, but we're going to put pressure on you when you come into that 2 point scoring arc area. The fact that we didn't even attempt a 2 point, is that testament to Cork, or is it a lack of bravery on our own behalf, Brendan? You have to ask these questions. And, Jason also referenced, the changes that we made. Ryan McHugh, to me, was playing well on Saturday evening. And his experience on the field when you're under pressure, Shane O'Donnell, likewise, was carrying the ball well from forward to, from defence to attack. And when you're taking off that experience and them kind of steady eddies on the ball kind of thing, did we lose something there too, Brendan? So these are the questions. Yeah. Very disappointing. We just have to dust ourselves off, and we're heading for, is it Croke Park? Ger Brennan seems to be shouting out for Parnell Park. I can't see that.
Yeah.
Does it? Yeah.
Well, that's what he's shouting for. Well, that's
7,300 capacity would be fantastic.
Is that all it is?
Yeah, 7,300 capacity. I Googled. Well, if Google, Mr. Google is right, that's
good, man. Hey, you're doing your work. Jason, there's a fair point in Kieran Thompson there, and Brennan's talking about Shane O'Donnell and Oisin Gallen were our best players. Now, Oisin seems to have some cramping problem, right, which seems to throw up in games, and that seems to be what's coming out. I don't know why Shane went off, because he was carrying a lot of ball from us. But you mentioned there Kieran Thompson last year. You had Niall O'Donnell, you had Patrick Bertie in there as well. I was saying earlier on the day to Greg, we wouldn't have won the last two Ulsters without Niall O'Donnell. When you go looking in, did we make enough of an effort to try and keep that man in? I know Patrick had to retire. Kieran hopefully be back soon. But from the bench there the last day, when Jim looked for the injection, it actually worked against us. We the lads had come on, there was a couple of fouls committed and possessions given away. So, you know, a lot of question marks now hanging over Donegal, Jason Gunnan's Dublin game.
Yeah, and you could add Aaron Doherty to that list as well, Brian, couldn't you? You know, just given what he offered last year too. Like, and, you know, I'd say Niall was probably just a bit disappointed with the game time he got after the Ulster campaign last year. There was some games there that, you know, we were probably crying out for him and we didn't see him. You know, we have to take management on their merit and the way they make these decisions. They're seeing everything in training and all that there, and we're not. You know, from the outside looking in, I thought Saturday's game would have been tailor-made maybe for Jamie Brennan to come in. You know, given his experience, he's been a great servant for the county. We all know what he can do. Was very surprised we didn't see him off the bench, maybe ahead of some of the more lesser experienced players, albeit as well as they've done and everything else. It seemed like a game that maybe it was tailor-made for Jamie to come in and get some couple of scores when we were really, really struggling for them. So, you know, depth and the depth of your bench is a big, big thing. And we've seen that, you know, it played a huge part for Donegal last year. And a couple of those games where they really hung in the melting pot, those lads, as you mentioned, and Paddy McBurty included, coming in and just making massive impacts. It's worrying. It is worrying. But the only thing I will say is, lads, and this isn't a softening up exercise or anything else, but I've covered four of Dublin's championship games this summer, and they will get a massive pop off Jerry Brennan coming back. But at the same time, you know, on paper, Donegal should be beating them. I was at their game against Cavan, and a team with more poise and conviction up front would have beat them. Cavan had 11 wides to 3. They had 3 criminal shots dropped short in the second half when they were only 3 points behind. And Dublin just picked them off slowly but surely. And Conor Callaghan and Neil Scully were both excellent running the show. But outside of that, Dublin were quite poor. And they lost Cormac Costello to a bad enough dead leg in the first half. He looked quite hurt when he went off. Sean Bugler was down in front of us in the stand. He was limping as well. He certainly didn't look like a man who'd be fit to play championship in a week. And Owen Murchin was interestingly up along with the Dublin stats team in the press box too. And we haven't seen him since that game down in Wicklow. Albeit they did get Colly Baskell back.
Well, Coffee Byrne was back too, was he?
Yeah, Coffee Byrne was back, but he wasn't. He didn't really impress me, Brendan. He made one good catch in the first half, I think, but he definitely didn't have the impact that he was having for Dublin earlier in the year. Now, he has got minutes under his belt. He could be a completely different animal next weekend. Ross McGarry came off the bench and got 3 points. And Baskell got 2, so their bench impact was the flip side for Donegal. They got 6 points off the bench, in fact, and were quite impressive there. But still, a team with more conviction would have put them away. Do you know what I mean? And certainly not the Dublin of old. And Donegal shouldn't fear them. And, you know, this is last warning now, boys. There's no more time for falling flat or anything else. It's dog eat dog, and there's 4 quarter final spots up for grabs. So, as we said, Donegal have no time to feel sorry for themselves. But all those points you made, Brendan, about the depth and the bench and everything else, are extremely worrying going forward. When you look at the bodies that Kerry are getting back, when you look at Armagh's depth and how angry they'll be after what happened in Enniskeen, Monaghan have so many bodies back as well, and they have huge momentum now. That their game against Westmeath actually is going to be their 6th championship game this summer, and their 5th in Clonus. So that's huge for them. They'll see themselves as massive contenders now to get to another quarter final. Now they've taken out the Connacht champions already, and that they're facing the Leinster ones now. But anyway, I'm going off on a tangent, but yeah, like, the you know, when you see the depth of other squads maybe compared to us, you know, it was probably something that wasn't spoken about until Cork came to town and just grounded out and kind of slowed down every attack and kept Donegal totally out of possession and took the game away from them. Like, because large parts of that game in Killarney were played on Donegal's terms, and, you know, like, the two performances were just absolutely night and day, and it's a big, big worry, especially considering that we've seen this already from the down game in Letterkenny.
Yeah, and you know, it's a fair point, Ben, because, I mean, the Louth bench was brilliant. Darren McCurry comes on, had 6 points for Tyrone. Yeah. You know, you're looking at the Monaghan bench that was mentioned there, the Dublin bench, 6 points. You know, we didn't get anything, you know, from our bench. And listen, we got a score later on, maybe could have stolen it. But Bryn, Jason mentioned there that the focus net, right? So Donegal league final, unreal, right? Absolutely chomping at the bit. They then have the down performance. They then refocus and do Kerry. And then we have this performance again. So if we're going by some kind of trend, Donegal will be on it against Dublin next week.
I'd prefer not to be going on them down to trend, Brendan. But yeah, and, listen, you know, there's definitely an element in that, Brendan, so there is. And we've seen throughout the championship this year, like, you know, if you're not on it, if you're a minuscule off it, the teams, other teams are capable of punishing you. We've seen that. The championship is crazy. The whole thing is crazy. You watch the games over the weekend. And Donegal need to play with a bit more freedom, in my mind, so they do. They're playing within a system that's brilliant and controlled and all that. But we have the players to play a bit wild, to get Pather Morgan up the field, to get Ryan McHugh up the field, to get Finbar Rorty, and to play with a bit more abandon, because the conservative approach was fine under the old rules, etc. But you need to have something extra on the front foot here now. And going back to our subject, we have some really talented young lads on this bench, so we have. But it's a big step up when you're stepping into 15, 20 minutes to go in a game that's going down to the wire and asking them young fellas to go in and make a difference there. We've seen the likes of Shea Malone, Max Campbell, Thurlock Carr. These guys do brilliant throughout the year. But putting them all in together is a bit of a risk, and you need that experience there, so you do. You need to have experienced guy in the ball in them situations. But for me, Donegal need to throw off the shackles a bit. They need to go at this when they go up to, it would be at Croke Park or Parnell Park next weekend. They need to go at it. And, you know, the trend you're talking about week on, week off, that's fine, but you'll get caught out, so you will.
Yeah, indeed. And that bravery, Jason, you're obviously going to multiple teams here, there and everywhere. You know, we're seeing it creeping in, but it's never part of Jim's kind of mantra. No, Jim's tactics is always, you know, we're playing it, we're going to run the ball, we're going to sit tight, we'll commit to it, and everybody falls into suit. Is that wee bit of abandonment, is that something that's going to need to come into the game to give Donegal that extra element? Because, you know, it's a Pater Morgan, Gallen, Murphy, Langan, you know, oh, McGee, man. Ryan McHugh, they've all kicked two-pointers this season, but, you know, it never looked like there was going to be one. Now, as I said to Brian, we were kind of in control of the game, but between, you know, we've Michael Murphy inside, what a target, man. I mean, do we need to start to kick the ball to take that next level? Or do you think that Donegal just stick to the game plan every time? Because, as Brendan was saying there, the fortunes begin to favour the brave again. Do we need to kind of open up a bit and have a few different styles?
Yeah, well, you definitely give to mix and match. You know, I know Jim's been very insistent on that in terms of how Donegal set up defensively, but you have to be able to do that in terms of your attack as well, you know. We've so many brilliant kickers too that can deliver the ball inside, as you said, so many strong kickers and so many fielders. Like, you know, you look at the size of the options, as you said, like Murphy, Langan, Huey, Jason McGee, you take those four in particular in terms of size. Like, you know, we're absolutely blessed in that department. I think only Tyrone, maybe in terms of Con Kilpatrick and Brian Kennedy, have those options in the middle. Or around the middle, or definitely in terms of size and physicality, which you really, really need now. You know, so yeah, I think you need to be able to mix and match. You need to kind of play it as you see it in terms of what's in front of you. Dublin kicked the ball a lot yesterday against Cavan. They kicked the ball a lot. It didn't always come off of them. You know, Paddy Small got 3 points from play, from a couple of good kick passes inside, but, you know, he didn't always win the ball either, you know, because maybe he just doesn't have that height that maybe other teams do have in terms of a Murphy or anything like that, you know what I mean? Kieran Kilkenny was drifting out the field a lot, but they were kicking it a lot. Like, a lot of kicks were coming in from Theo Clancy and Charlie McMorrow in particular. Kilkenny would have been one of those lads who would have kicked a lot for Dublin, but he didn't do it as much yesterday. It was quite notable. Niall Scully was kicking the ball a lot too. But they just weren't winning enough ball inside. But, you know, they were trying it. And because when they ran the ball, they were just met by a wall of bodies. What happened to Donegal against Cork too. So I think you just have to be able to mix and match. You have to be able to play it as you say it in front of you. You know, Dublin aren't going to set up overly defensively this weekend. I definitely wouldn't think so. It's not, you know, they're able to mix and match with the best of them still. They still have a lot of very astute tacticians there in the line, especially in terms of Neil Moynihan in particular, given his experience. But I just think, to answer your question bluntly, Brian, you need to be able to mix and match in today's game. You can't just stick to the one thing all the time, or it's going to go against you. Like, it's just too predictable.
Too predictable. Brian, is this, many ways, we're down to the last couple of minutes here, is this a good draw for Donegal in many ways? Now, I can't see how, I mean, the Hurlers, Dublin Hurlers are playing on Saturday, so the game has to be Sunday. But the Donegal crowd would want to go, and, you know, it's a knockout game. Surely, you know, if Parnell Park was 18,000 or something, I think they might swing it. But my God, I mean, Brendan, so they would get the 40,000, would they? 50?
You would think they'd get 40-odd thousand kind of thing for a Sunday afternoon.
I mean, you can understand Dublin have a terrible record.
It's not a place... Like, Croke Park, even with 40,000, doesn't create that atmosphere that you want. Like, and, you know, I do feel the game will be in Croke Park. It's too big a disparity from the 7,300. Yes. There's not enough, you know, with season ticket holders and that. But I think it's a good draw for Donegal. I think it's a bit, they have to put a huge focus on it. They know that they have to throw up a response from the weekend against Cork. And they're possibly getting a game in Croke Park going into a quarter final. They can blow away the cobwebs of last weekend if they go up with, you know, with that right energy that we saw them with down in Killarney, that we saw in Croke Park earlier in the year in the league final. So, yeah, I think it's a really, really good opportunity for them, but they just got to make... Like, Dublin aren't the team of old. They're not. The decade of dominant Dubs are gone, but you look through their team, they still have the backbone of that team. Yeah, they still have seven or eight of them boys hanging in there, exceptional players, and they've kind of freshened it up with some young fellas. So it's going to be a tough assignment. Dublin, bit of confidence coming off Cavan victory at the weekend, albeit Cavan were poor, I think.
Chair back.
You know, yeah. So I think it's a great opportunity, a great challenge for Donegal to get the wheels back on the wagon and go forward.
Yeah, it should be. Jay, just last one. Do you pick a winner from Armagh Kerry?
Oh,
Kerry Armagh, even.
The call, Brendan. That's impossible to call. It's going to be some crack, that one.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen that Armagh get a home draw on that, because
yes,
Kerry haven't had to go on an arduous trip to Ulster in the Championship in a long, long time. They went up to Monaghan in the first year of the Super 8s when David Clifford scored a wonderful goal on his debut, and they limped out to the Championship that summer, and it was Eamon Fitzmaurice's last campaign in charge. But I would love to have seen it on the Athletic Grounds. I think you just have to back Kerry in this one, given the bodies that they're getting back. Gavin White coming back is absolutely massive for them. Absolutely huge. And they got so many minutes into lads who hadn't got many minutes before for that walkover down in Kildare. But I think White coming back is huge. You know, we saw him last year, how good he was in the All-Ireland final against us. It was just exceptional. I know Potty and David Clifford got a lot of the kudos, but you know, Gavin White was man of the match at the end of the day. Their goalkeeper is still a worry. You know, Armagh fans will certainly tell you that they can't comment in that regard after what happened at the weekend. But Shane Ryan's loss is still massive for them. But I think a home game down there, given what we've done to them as well, they'll be very keen to put things right in front of their own. I was in the stands that day when we played them down there, lads, and they were not happy. They were not happy at what they were seeing. Their home support were very, very angry, and the Kerry team will be very keen to put that right with their own people down there in their own patch. So I think it just swings in Kerry's favour. We're going to have a massive, we're going to have four massive hitters gone again, and you know, in terms of all Ireland contenders, we're going to have one of them gone as well in terms of that fixture. So that's going to be an absolute clinker, lads. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. And you know, the beauty of it, and this is the most annoying thing from a Donegal point of view, those teams that are through to a quarter final get to sit back and watch everyone go at it this weekend, and watch four teams knock another four out, and they have the break and they can come into Croke Park nice and fresh on June 27th, 28th. So that's the big annoying thing from a Donegal point of view. But look, I do expect Donegal to get over Dublin. It's just an extra game at the end of the day. Could be a blessing in disguise, please God. But that Kerry Armagh one's going to be a clinker. And like, in terms of it in general, lads, as we said, that was a very underwhelming draw on paper when it came out in terms of the games that we just saw this weekend. But the quality of some of them was just off the charts. You know what I mean? Like that Armagh-Lloyd game was a thriller. Throw Mayo was class. Westmeath rallied again against Galway. You have to hats off to Mark McHugh, boys, for the job he's done there. They could have easily just said, feck this down in Salt Hill, but they made a fuss of it.
They did.
You know, and they're still hanging in there, and they'll have massive belief going to Clonus too. So this weekend now, lads, it's just the state of the game's out at the minute. It's just brilliant, brilliant to see, and hopefully Donegal can get through and still have a massive say in this championship as well.
Yeah, keep buying the Sun newspaper. That's just number one, and you will see the writings of Jason Byrne in there. Jason, top class. Brendan, you to be... Something you want to throw in there?
Yeah, just the draw, super draw that Donegal GAA are running, so they are to develop the fantastic facilities, the Donegal GAA Centre and Convoy. You can win 250,000, quarter of a million, would be nice in any man's back pocket, so it would. So if you want to visit winwithdonegalga.com, get all the info there. Tickets are 20 per ticket. You can get 3 for 50, or if you really want to go big, you can get 7 for 100. So winwithdonegalga.com. For all the info on that. Thanks, Brendan, for giving
Perfect, Ben. Not at all, not at all. Support the boys, support the training centre up there. That's great. Jason, listen, you have a good day, sir. I will speak to you down the tracks. We'll see you up about the capital, sure.
You will, of course, lads. Thanks very much.
Top man, right, Jason Byrne, sports editor of the Sun, our own Brendan Kilcoyne. Thank you so much, Kenneth.
Yeah, that was Kenneth Wilson. Produced that earlier today. After the break, we're going to hear from Joint Ladies Under 20 manager Desi McNamara and Carol Lacey, manager of our minors.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Irish strawberry season is here. Let the fun begin. Pick up a punnet of Keeling's Irish strawberries in store today. Tasty, sweet, feel-good fruit, fresh from our farm. Love that Keeling's feeling.
Nissan.
Who?
Nissan. Uncle Pork said Nissan dish him a mighty deal on his cool new car.
Nissan. His new Nissan.
With the new government scrappage scheme, you can get an even mightier deal on a new Nissan. Save up to €8,500 across the Nissan EV range and up to €12,500 on a Nissan Ariya. See Nissan.ie for details. Terms and conditions apply. Nissan. Defy ordinary.
Show Dad some love this Father's Day with a thoughtful gift from Dunn Stores. Help him look stylish with refined knitwear and shirts from designer Paul Costello. Or take inspiration from his hobbies with performance golfwear from Padraig Harrington's collection. If Dad loves cooking, treat him to something new from Nevin Maguire's cookware range. Or give him the gift of choice with a Dunn Stores e-gift card, arriving in his inbox on Father's Day, Sunday 21st of June. Shop in-store or online now. Dunn Stores. Always better value. Terms and conditions apply.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Yes, welcome back. Shortly we're going to hear from Colin Parkinson, the smaller fish himself, and his wrap-up of all the weekend's GAA Across All Ireland series. But at the weekend, our under-20s lifted the Ulster Championship, and we have a few words here from joint manager Desi McNamara.
I'm joined now by Desi McNamara, part of the management team of this Donegal under-20s that have just lifted the Karen Jackson Cup. A good performance, particularly in the first half, and you stood up well to a Tyrone challenge in the third quarter and saw yourselves home.
Absolutely. Look at the girls come out of the blocks there in the first half flying, and we put a big emphasis on the first 10 minutes to try and push up and get as much out of them first 10 minutes as possible. And the girls played excellently and throughout the whole first half, working hard. Like, Tyrone got a few balls, but we'd done a massive amount of turnovers. And looking at half-time, we told them to keep it going. We knew Tyrone were going to come out. The wind actually picked up there at half-time, and look, they had their moments. They did put us under the cosh a wee bit, but look, at once again, some of the girls stood up there, especially in them last 10 or 15 minutes, and look, we're so proud of them.
Well, Tyrone did cut it back to 5 points, but you did lead by 12 at the break, and a comfortable 12-point lead as well, because, and it could have been more.
Yeah, it could have been more. We missed up a few opportunities of goals, but look, at as I said, these sometimes there does be mistakes. We don't care about mistakes. We just expect these girls to keep playing and playing and playing, and that's what to do. You know, at the end of the day, look, we keep telling them the only time the scoreboard is really relevant is when the referee blows the final whistle, and that's what we play to. We try to play for the full 60 minutes. It's an inter-county game, and the opposition, they're all good players too, so there is going to be periods where they get on top, etc. But we have to weather that storm and come back out. And in fairness to the girls, you know, in that last 15-20 minutes, you could really see that they wanted this.
Yeah, that was Desi McNamara. We're actually tight for time here. That Carol Lacey interview is up online. Well done to the minor lads. We make a look at that next week. Actually, I'm just looking as tight for time here because this Colin Parkinson interview is coming up here now, which we're going to play for you, which will take us in to the end of the show. Yes, Mr. Colin Parkinson, the CEO of the Smaller Fish Empire. Welcome to the DL Debate. Welcome back to the DL Debate.
Yeah, very good. The CEO of Smaller Fish talks to the CEO of Highland Radio.
Someday, my man, someday. You never know if he's listening. He better watch his back, will he? Yeah? Will he listen? Great to have you on, as ever. Listen, after that weekend, never mind the whole championship and everything goes on, it's absolutely mental. So many talking points, Willie. But first up, just from the Smaller Fish, and how's it going for you? I mean, it's absolutely flying. There's so many people loves the output and everything you're doing. Are you enjoying it?
Ah, yeah. Well, listen, that's great. It's great to hear. And yeah, the show's going really well, Brendan. The subscribers are up, which is great. I'm always having to keep an eye on them. But this year, and listen, it's down to a lot of factors. But like you mentioned, the feckin' football. That's what people are interested in, and they're mad to hear about it, and it's going so well. It's great for people who are in the media. Like, I mean, Jesus, we've just had that draw this morning. It seems like it's never-ending excitement,
yeah.
Brendan, whether it's the games, whether it's feckin', you know, it's shocks. I was comparing the games to darts last night. Like, I mean, you think a darts player's gone and suddenly the momentum completely shifts. That's what we have in Gaelic football now.
Yeah. I mean, me and you, myself and Aaron, we have our own group for the preview show that we do. And I was saying about how do we actually, I mean, I know you can still obviously sum up games and form and how they're looking, but actually predict the game now. Aaron was saying, like, we 5 minutes to go, I couldn't predict the game. Like, that is where we're at, just like you're saying.
Well, that's it. Even like teams, like without getting into Donegal, teams that you can be so sure, is whenever you think Donegal are sure things, they seem to lose. So I don't really know what's going on there. You've Loud beating Armagh. Like, that was probably, you know, predicted to be closer anyways.
Mm.
It's some of the other ones, you know, the Down beating Donegal, the Cork beating Donegal, kind of results like that. They're very surprising. And I suppose, yeah. And two-pointers are a big part of that. You know, you're cruising in a game, suddenly you can see two 2-pointers and the momentum of the game completely shifts. Now you're under pressure and the game slips away from you. So look, it's a combination of a whole load of things, but there's no doubt this home and away draw is really adding to the championship as well. You know, Armagh were 1 second away from 2 weeks off and now they're away to Kerry. In the draw. So these home and away draws, it adds to the kind of cutthroat nature of it and huge crowds as well. It's as good a championship as I can ever remember, Brendan.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Well, they see where we would end some of the games and that, and as you say, some of this drama. You know, obviously you cover hurling football right across the board. I mean, what are we looking at? About 63 teams, maybe a couple of thousand players, never mind the club stuff that you do. How is your work kind of life to sport? I mean, I'd say there's weekends there, it just must be bedlam in terms of getting across all the games.
Ah, no, it is. It's hard. And next weekend's a total nightmare. There's 2 hurling quarterfinals, there's 2 Tailteann Cup semifinals, and there's 4 round 3 games, which are preliminary quarterfinals in Samogar. Like, I mean, how are you meant to cover all them, or how are you meant to stay on top of them? This weekend, I had reporters at 3 games, Monaghan, Roscommon, Jack Madden, who's a freelancer, and he was at Cavan Dublin on Sunday, and Keelan Sexton, who does interviews for me, he was at Galway in Westmeath. So I'm trying to pause matches on the TV. They're sending me back videos. I'm trying to get them up. And then you're trying to finish off watching Mayo and Tyrone. Your head is feckin' spinning. By the time you go to record a show on Sunday night, it's very hard to remember what happened in the Monaghan Roscommon game. There's just so much action. There's football's getting a bit like hurling now, where so much is happening in the games. There's so much to talk about. Like, I'm doing a second review show tomorrow because it's just a spillover from Sunday night. It's just impossible to cover all the games on the Sunday night. And we have an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like going over an hour and 20 minutes. I think it's too long.
Yes.
But yeah, have to do a second review show. And then yourself and Brendan, or yourself and Aaron, are on again on Thursday for a preview show. So look, it's very, very hard to cover everything, but sure, listen, it's not a bad complaint, is it? It'd be worse if there was hardly any games on.
I it's remarkable how you do it, Willie, because even what I cover here for Highland, it's mad sometimes getting over it all. And then I think about you, thinking, right, here, you can do this. Of course, it's the weekend as well. Willie, you have a couple of kids, you could get caught all the time juggling stuff, so there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, well, look, I have a pass. GEA is my job, so I have a pass for all GEA activity. Right. Now, if I was to watch a soccer match in my spare time, I could be getting a little bit of shit for that, Brendan. Yeah, but sure, look, that's
if you're having a beer, if you're like, having a beer watching the game.
What?
If you're having a beer watching the game, does it still get you? Does that still work?
Yeah. If I'm cheeky enough to get out a beer and watch a soccer match on my leisure time, I'll be hearing about it, let's just say.
Well, listen, you mentioned there, of course, some of the, unfortunately, Donegal, our own men, have been involved in two of these kind of shock games. I mean, the Division 3 team down, coming up and playing us off the park. And then, you know, we have this massive break come down, tuned in. Look like we're on it against Kerry. Of course, we wouldn't know what was going to happen in that second half because Kerry were decent, even missing players. They were right in that game. And, you know, the second half then was very hard to predict. But certainly you thought, right, that was the blip. I mean, we're talking about like the Kerry Meath performance last year. Teams, oh, that was your wake up and away you go now. But Donegal again, not so much as in a game, but in a really poor game. Like I was, me and you was talking a wee bit at the weekend, it was a really poor match in terms of both teams just standing off each other, waiting to come into the tackling zone around the arc and that. And Cork showed nothing, 5 points in the first half, not one turnover. But when Cork then did kick in the gear, Donegal just seemed to wilt, you know, they lost their composure. And again, Willie, for us trying to sum up teams, and this is an All-Ireland contender team, you're just left scratching your head then. I'm sure you were as shocked as anybody seeing the result coming through.
Everybody was shocked, and you're only going off highlights of it. And I would say most people thought this was just going to be a routine home win for Donegal. And like Jim McGuinness talking after the game, and he mentioned three things which stood out to me. Number one was energy levels. Number two was conceding 2-point frees. And number three was getting caught in tackles. Now, I've seen Donegal plenty of times. Energy is a given. In fact, it'll run teams into the ground. They don't concede 2-point frees. Remember Rory Beggins, sure, the poor chap would never get a 2-point free against Donegal because of the discipline that they have. And getting caught in tackles. When do you see Donegal really getting turned over? Not that much. So, Jesus, three hugely surprising things for McGuinness to kind of identify. And this is another thing with Donegal. It's just hard to understand. McGuinness is a master motivator. These things don't usually happen, Donegal. Mm. You know, it's not, and there's no doubt it's a motivation thing. They're not tired. They went out early in Ulster. You know, I'm not, you know as well as I do, I'm not mad on the Donegal hard running style. They never kick the ball. They run everything. And I would like to make the argument to say, oh, they're tired because their system has them tired. They do too much running. They should let the ball do the work a bit more. But that's not the case. They shouldn't be tired. You know, they haven't played an awful lot of championship football. So it's all very confusing. The only thing I can think is that they were just cruising in a game, Brendan. Mm. They were cruising. When that goal went in, there was no stick to beat them with at halftime. Everything's going well. And then suddenly those two two-pointers in a row and their momentum completely shifts. And now Donegal, thinking they're cruising, will see this out. Suddenly they're in a game. And they weren't able to respond, you know, a bit similar to when Down, you know, when the game went against them with Down. Maybe that's a concern for Donegal, that when the momentum goes against them, they're not able to turn it back on.
Yeah, and we were talking about that earlier, just about, you know, we've seen the last couple of years, particularly, I mean, you think of the two Armagh battles, like Donegal were locked dead and buried in both those games at separate times. In both games, but they came back, the fight was back, like Donegal just seemed to lose. And he's a big worry now. Well, and this Dublin game now, I mean, with Donegal playing the way they did, that's going to be a really interesting game. Well, you were talking a lot about maybe Crow Park and you know, Dublin maybe not playing there. What do you think that'll come to? It'll be in Crow Park, though, will it?
I don't think so. Ger Brennan said after the game yesterday in the press conference, because Jack Madden was there for me, and he said that if they're drawn at home, it'll be on the Sunday, because their hurlers are playing on the Saturday and they'll be drawn at home on the Sunday, and he wants it in Parnell Park.
That's interesting.
So yeah. I suppose Ger Brennan says he wants it in Croke Park. Maybe we could see a Parnell Park or nowhere type situation. Who knows? Like, you know, we've seen it happen before. If they have home advantage, they are entitled to play it wherever they want. There'll be huge pressure on them to play it in Croke Park though, because, you know, you'll get a 50,000-60,000 attendance at that. So what do Dublin do? Do they bow to the pressure and go to Croke Park, or do they play it in Parnell Park? If I was Donegal, I'd be hoping it's in Croke Park.
Yeah, agreed. And Willie, you know, just around the other games there, you look right, Roscommon, what a story. You mentioned what a brilliant championship Roscommon and Westmeath have added so much to that. Maybe me and you spoke about like the draws, you can be a bit unlucky. I mean, Tyrone was a tough draw. Looking at it, you know, narrowly lose that game by a point and then get away to Monaghan and now they're out of the championship. I mean, it was brilliant for them. They won Connacht, but as we spoke many times, like, this Roscommon team needed to get to Croke Park and needed to maybe have a big win there. It's not going to be this year.
No, and I spoke to Donny Smith last night. He's very disappointed about that. There's just something about Roscommon and their, you know, the rivalry they have with Mayo and Galway out in Connacht, and they're able to get up for that. It's a local derby, and, you know, they react to the crowd and the passion and all that's involved in the Connacht Championship. But when they come out from that, and that local rivalry and that passion isn't there, you know, they just don't seem to be able to do it on the national stage. And this is hurting them. You know, Donny's very disappointed. Donny said last night on the show that he would take a National League Division 1 title over a Connacht title. He wants they're not respected nationally because they can't do it on the national stage or an All-Ireland semi-final. So that's where his head is at. And I can see where he's coming from. You know, that they just limped out of that championship. And the way they stood, the thing about the second half is how they just stood admiring Monaghan picked them off. Like, they pushed out. If you're pushing out, Brendan, just tactically, you have to get hands on.
Yeah.
Otherwise, all you're doing is opening up the space behind you for yourself to be picked off. Either you stay on the 45 and stay compact, or you push out and you get serious heat on. You can't push out shadow and allow the likes of Conor McCarthy and Bannigan and all these fellas just pick you off. Tactically, it was silly, and it continued the whole way through the second half.
It completely played Andy Monaghan's style, 100%. Well, I really have to talk to you about what you made of the Healy Park late drama. I mean, what a kick from Morgan. But Willie, previous to that, I was literally shouting at the TV when Sam Kilnan came through with that fisted score. The goal's on. This isn't an insurance point. There's a couple of minutes to go. You cannot fist that ball over the bar. What did you make of that?
Well, that's the thing, and the cheese, it drives me mad. And this isn't an example, Brendan, where, you know, Kilnan mightn't trust himself to score. You know, he mightn't be a goal scorer. I was a terrible goal scorer, and I have fist passed the ball over the bar at times, only because I don't want to blast it wide or miss it. But this was just an easy hand pass across the square to Tommy Conroy to palm it into the net. This is the worst example of this probably I've ever seen.
Yeah.
In that, and another thing that makes it even worse, what good is a 1 point lead now? Like, a 2-pointer beats it. It's not even a safe lead.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's what happened. So a whole load of things. It wasn't that he wasn't a good finisher, is that it was a total and utter cop-out. And I don't mind criticising the young fella, because the more people criticise these things, the less we'll see it happen. It should be called out. The idea all down through the years, and it's the Jerk Hanning, he took the right option. It's not the right option. It's very rarely the right option, Brendan, unless you're coming in along the sideline from an impossible angle and there's no other option.
Yeah,
that's the only situation, or you're 3 points up and you do it to go 4 points up.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're seeing teams doing this regularly, you know, bearing down on goals and taking the hand pass over the bar. It makes no sense. It is rampant in the game. And I don't think I've ever seen a worse example of it, Brendan, than Kilnan. Because again, him not being a good finisher doesn't even come into play, because it was a simple hand pass. Unless, like, I don't think he's the most heads up player in the world, and maybe he didn't see him. But Jesus, just lift your head up.
Yeah. Do you think, Willie, and you've probably played with boys like this, that they're happy enough to get the point for themselves? I mean, it sounds mad, but you would have known a lot of guys if you'd have played a bit of times again, should put the goal or should give the ball, but he kind of, there's a score and it could be the winner for him. And even that is in the back of their mind.
I don't think so at that stage of the game. You know, maybe, like I've taught before, it's always nice, Brendan, you know yourself, especially when you're forward, is to get off the mark early in the game. I always relaxed and was, you know, happier at that stage and could relax into the game. And I wasn't even a scoring forward. I'm sure you felt it even more than me, just to get off the mark and be in the game. But like, this is a wing back and this is in the 66th minute. I don't think he's looking for his own score there. I think potentially he thinks that's the right option at that stage of the game. You know, and that is the mentality that these lads have, that goal was on. And that would have been made. That's the winning and losing of the game, unfortunately for him. You know, a goal there and it's game over. There's not much Tyrone can do. And then Tyrone go down the field and get a very questionable free, it has to be said.
Yes.
I don't think Aidan O'Shea fouled McKernan there. McKernan was cute, as all players are.
Yeah.
And there's not much Aidan O'Shea could do. McKernan just ran into him. And Aidan actually dispossessed him. And it looked like Aidan scissors to his legs, but he didn't when you see the replay.
Yeah, it was harsh. It was harsh. And listen, Willie, this changes the complex of everything, you know, who's playing who, where the games is at, and what could be for your season, Willie. And if you look at it from a Donegal perspective, if they had done their job at the weekend, Willie, they'd be sitting back now a definite, I think, favourites because of the fact of the Kerry Armagh draw. I mean, what a draw this is. What a game this is going to be. Well, you know, because of the shock of Armagh, you know, the Rafferty mistake, you know, and again, you talk about switching keepers and kind of outfield players being put on the goals. I mean, it was a terrible last minute, but what drama for Louth. I mean, what a victory for them. You'd have to say fair play to them. But listen, that draw, well, is just unbelievable.
Well, Rafferty's usually quite good, you know, under the high ball, and he was good in the game under the high ball. The confusing thing for Rafferty is why he just didn't fist it away. It's game over at that stage, and it's surprising that he did that. He was a good bit off his line as well. Armagh shell shot. This is two awful body blows, you know, to lose a game in the manner they did and then draw Kerry away. It's horrific. I know you have a week to get yourself, your head wrapped around all this stuff. So, you know, this new championship, it's cutthroat and things can change very, very quickly. Louth have proven that they're a match for anyone now. They've beaten Dublin in Croke Park and they have beaten Armagh, you know, so they are a match for anyone. They're very, very good players and they have serious players coming through. They have an unbelievable bench. You look at Donegal's bench, geez, not much of an impact off that. And then you compare that to what Louth are able to bring off the bench.
Yeah.
All very good players. They have a serious squad in Louth and good underage players coming through as well. So, you know, the future is bright for Louth. And like I said, I think Meath and Louth, I know you lads up in Ulster like to go on about the Ulster as a province, Brennan. I'm going to do the same shout out for Leinster here. It's great to see Meath and Louth having huge wins at the weekend and, you know, showing that they're a match for anybody, you know, and that they're able to take on Division 1 teams. You know, it's good for Leinster football. We're in the doldrums long enough, Brendan.
Yeah, well, we had one shine in light, but we don't want to heap any more praise on him. Tell me, Willie, the Galway performance, a lot of people may be sitting looking now, are they the kind of squad that maybe is the, if Kerry obviously get over Armagh, let's say, and get players back, is it maybe Galway more than anybody else that could be the only team that could take them in a big game at Croke Park if that were to happen?
At the moment, Donegal beat Kerry down in Kerry, just Donegal are front runners for the All-Ireland, then they lose. I'm trying to always hold back from changing my opinion. Donegal are still huge players in this. Armagh are still huge players in this. I'd say Armagh less because of the awful draw that they got. But I do take your point. It does look like Galway are getting everybody back and Kerry are getting everybody back at the right time. You know, there's four rounds left in the All-Ireland now. And that's a big thing for Galway, is getting everybody on the pitch. And they have everybody fit now. So it's massive. Other than Sean Fitzgerald, who's over in Love Island, and Matthew Thompson is back as well.
Yeah.
And we have to see how fit he is. He comes back, he has a huge string to their bow for a kicking game inside, because he loves to lift the head up. So I see what you're saying. At the moment, Kerry and Galway look like they're peaking potentially at the right time. But again, if you start just changing your mind every week, now Donegal go have a great performance against Dublin and suddenly Donegal are back in the mix again. So Donegal haven't gone out of it. This was an uncharacteristic loss for them and they're second for the year, which is very, very confusing from a Donegal perspective. But they absolutely are big players. If you were to ask me, it'd be one of Donegal, Galway and Kerry, because I think Kerry beat Armagh down at home for the All-Ireland.
So, Willie, we'll just finish up on this, finish up on the Donegal, man. In terms of Dublin, did you see enough from what you could gauge from the win in Breffni to think that Dublin are in any way going to be a bit of a proper force again? We know obviously the forward line is top, but did you see enough to think that you know, that they're getting back, because they've been so patchy and up and down, as of Donegal? So again, if Donegal come and obviously play anything that they did against Down and Cork, you know, Dublin will fancy it. But if Donegal can get back now, seemingly a bit like if they were stung after Down, come down very, very focused for Kerry. So if they come in very, very focused to Parnell Park, they say, if it is, then, you know, that should be them back to one of ways, but then the game after would be the one. But what do you think of that game then, Dublin-Donegal?
I didn't actually see Dublin and Cavan game. But you see enough that Padraig Coffey-Burns back in midfield. Colin Baskell is back off the bench. Ross McGarry, they're clearing up injuries as well. They have a massive motivation. And whether you like it or not, they'll be massively motivated for their manager. Gerard Brennan got the 12 weeks. Jim McGuinness got off it. They're going to try and get it on in Parnell Park, and the crowd will be in on top of them, and they'll be hopping off Donegal. I'd give Dublin a chance in Parnell Park. I really would. The motivation would be really, really, really high. And I think on the tighter pitch, they could make it into a huge battle, and they could potentially beat Donegal. If it's in Croke Park, I couldn't see them beating Donegal in Croke Park. Croke Park, mate, is no, Donegal are so used to Croke Park, and it plays a very big pitch. And I would imagine Donegal would be able to break Dublin down easier. But if they dig their heels in, we've often seen with these, counties, when they dig their heels in and they get their home advantage in the stadium that they want, that they can be hard to beat. We saw Loud, that crowd are in on top of you and in a scheme. You know, we saw Armagh doing feckin' things that you wouldn't expect them to do. Mm. Forker going for shots. McGrain sprinting up the field like he was chasing the game at the end. Very un-Armagh-like. But a lot of that is down to the crowd being on top of you, the atmosphere of Fever Pitch. And even hugely experienced players do things that you wouldn't really be expecting them to do. So, yeah, if that's in Parnell Park, I'd have it a 50-50 game. If it's in Croke Park, I'd have it probably 65-35 in Donegal's favour.
Good man yourself, Willie. The old siege mentality, hard to beat. Dublin will be circling the wagons now. It's knockout championship. It's coming down the line for Donegal and Dublin. We can't wait for it. Colm, listen, always great to have you on, lad. Keep up the good work. Smaller Fish, if you've not signed up yet, get signed up. Pay top G output and reviews, previews, feedback, everything every week. Top stuff, kid.
Brilliant, Brandon. Thanks very much for having me on.
Brilliant, Colm. That's Colm Parkinson there, wrapping up the show this evening. Great to hear from him. As I say, he's a man at Smaller Fish there. You click on the Smaller Fish online there and sign up to his output there. That's everything for the show this evening. I want to thank my guests earlier, Jason Byrne, Brendan Kilcoyne. I want to thank Canis for producing here this evening. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions, and we'll speak to you next week with Donegal, hopefully in the All-Ireland quarterfinal.